Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Josh McNair, 1 year of fire service experience, a backstep firefighter for Palm Beach Shores Fire Department in Florida. Josh's mindset is a testament to his parents, who he surrounds himself with, and the mental fortitude within him to be better every day. We've all heard the "this generation" quote 1,000 times around the fire service, but the truth is we need to continue promoting and uplifting individuals such as Josh and many others who come in the fire service that have the desire and willingness to continue learning and bettering themselves, not only physically, but mentally as well. The conversation I had with Josh was amazing and truly great because I could see just how bright this young man's future truly is. With that, I present Mr. Josh McNair.
All right. My name is Josh McNair. I am from South Florida. I am a firefighter, EMT. And what got me in the fire service? Man, this is an amazing question. I had the opportunity. My dad is what got me in the fire service. I happen to live 2 minutes away from the people who ran a cadet program called Palm Beach County Cadet Program. One of the best programs I recommend for young people trying to get into the fire service. Shout out to Aiden Revere, Alex Chow, Brock Jones, Taylor Way. These guys and females are the ones who molded me to being, you know, a great firefighter and what it meant to be in the fire service. So it's crazy. I was on the sports side. You know, I ran track and field. That was a hitter witter for me. I always wanted to be in the sports world. I never really knew I wanted to be a firefighter until I joined this program. And I happened to be in this program for about 4 years, where I was taught everything you can think about being a firefighter, from doing ride times to going on calls with the crew to hanging on at the station. And I always told myself that I love track, but I was destined for something greater. And when I found out about, you know, getting into this program, I really got in here and I went to work. You know, at first I didn't take it as seriously because I was still, you know, interested in track and field. But when I hit that senior year, man, and my EMT school was finished, I was like, man, I did it. I passed EMT school. All right, let's see about fire school. And, you know, these guys, they told me like, yo, you got to do this, man. This is something that you should definitely give a try and, you know, go all out for it. And I was like, okay, the fire service it is. And here I am today, you know, 20 years old, you know, trying to make a difference in the fire service. Physical fitness, man. Physical fitness is huge. That is my everyday lifestyle. You know, being a firefighter and not owning the oath of being physically fit is so important to me, because when you step foot in your community and really just out on an apparatus in uniform, people look at your physical appearance. And if you don't look the part and you're not that person that you, they eat junk food, you know, they don't take the role of skill training. They don't take the role of bonding with their crew on how they can build a form of chemistry. What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? This job is one of the greatest jobs in the world, but it comes with a lot of work. It comes with you having sleepless nights. It comes with you being in the gym at odd hours. It comes with you doing tasks that you don't want to do. It comes with you getting in gear at the hottest time of the day, because if you don't do these things, you cannot grow, nor can your crew grow. I'm a big guy on leadership. You know, I want to be the person that steps foot in a fire scene and people say, that young man right there is making a difference in the fire service. I want to be that guy that can swap out a bottle and go right back in there ready to work, because I know that someone's life is depending on my physical fitness and my mental fortitude. And if I don't take that seriously, not only am I hurting the family, I'm hurting my family, I'm hurting my fire family, and I'm hurting the fire service in a whole. You know, I have some great mentors, you know, that I look up to: Jared Johnson, Eric Vidal, Julian Serrano. These guys understand what it means to get out and work, and they understand what it means to own the oath for their community. And I'm nowhere near any of these guys, you know, but these guys give me the example of what it means to be in the future on how to be a leader, you know, and I just want to carry that mantle. You know, hopefully one day they're going to retire soon, and hopefully I'm still in the fire service at that time. But I want to be able to carry that mantle on and spread awareness of physical fitness in the fire service. And that's the whole thing about my brand, Hard Mode Fitness. It's not just a brand out here to be like another average gym brand or another average workout brand. It's a brand that produces strength over fear. We do, when I show up to work or when my guys show up to work, I want to make sure that we are setting the example to other fire departments on what it means to be great, and what it means to take your physical fitness seriously. And I still have so much to learn in this job about physical fitness. And I try to harp on those skills every day. But I thank God for blessing me with the discipline that I have now to be able to impact others and teach others on what it means to just get out there and work. So that's kind of my whole thing on fitness in the fire service. I could talk hours about it, but it's just owning the oath and being true to yourself, and waking up every single day and not faking it. There's going to be days where I wake up, and there's been days where I wake up and I'm like, man, I don't want to work out today, man. I don't want to do this today. I mean, it's tough, bro. It's hot. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and we're outside in gear, full gear on air. But when people see that, and people when people pass by you and they see that you have a different type of work ethic, and not only that, but you're being true to yourself. That's the most important thing. It's not so much about making a social media presence about letting everyone see that you're physically fit in gear. It's about when you wake up every single day, what are you going to do? What steps are you going to take to make that change? And like I said, I want to be that young beacon, that example to the younger people coming in the fire service that this is the best job in the world, but you have to work no matter what it takes, no matter how hard it is, no matter how you feel, you have to work. And so that's my take on fitness in the fire service. Now, when we move down to the question of wellness, being there for others, man, in this job, you're going to see so many things that really impact your life. Like you're going to see things that touch you on a different level. You're going to see things that a lot of people don't see on an everyday basis. And the biggest thing is being able to bond with your crew. The biggest thing is being able to understand the chemistry of your crew. Because you might have that one guy or that one girl that comes into shift and they might have had a bad call. Let's say they're coming off of 48 and then they're at your station now and they had a bad call the night before. And you know that person, and you know they're not acting the way that they usually act. They're down, they're sad, they're kind of secluded from the crew that day. It is your duty, it is your role to be like, hey, listen, you don't seem yourself today. What's going on? Let's talk about it. You should never pass by a coworker or a brother, let me say, not even say coworker, but a brother or sister in the fire service who you see is struggling in life and just let them sit there. Because that's what causes the suicide. That's what causes people being angry, showing emotions, not taking, not owning the oath. They give up, every single time you impact a firefighter who is having a tough time on a call, it is your duty as a crew to sit down at the table and be like, hey, this is what happened. This is what we could do better, or this is what we've done. And, things happen, and I believe that everything happens in life for a reason. Like I said, I'm still freshly young. I haven't had the most critical, scary calls. But I do understand that as I grow in the fire service, I know that I'm going to have to deal with things that a lot of people don't see on an everyday basis. And I want to make sure not only am I strengthening the mind, but keeping God first for one, because he's the one that keeps me going every single day, and he's the one that keeps all of us going every single day, no matter if people believe it or not. But without God, nothing's possible. And when we show up on these calls, it is only God that protects us, when we go in these burning buildings and, we see these cardiac arrests or we see these killings. Like he's the only one that keeps us, he wakes us up every single day to be able to do this role and do this duty. So I really believe in, being there for each other. That's huge. It's not, this job is not like track. It's completely different. Because in track, it's by yourself. You're running against the clock. But in the fire service, if you want to promote, if you want to shine in the fire service, you have to be able to be well with other people to even get there. You want to be a captain one day. Well, guess what? You got to go through the probie. You got to have a mentor that teaches you how to be a probie. Then from the probie, you got to be a driver. You got to have a mentor that teaches you how to be a driver, a lieutenant. You got to have a mentor that teaches you to be a lieutenant, all the way up to battalion chief or however much higher that you want to go. You need people to coach you and help you. If you were that person that comes in this job and thinks that I'm doing this by myself, I'm doing it alone, you're mistaken. Because there is no I in the fire service. It is a team effort. And great thing about this job, it goes right back to our SCBAs. It's a universal connection with the Scott Pact, right? Well, when you go all around the world to other firefighters, it's a universal connection with each other. You guys are, we're going over to China and, you're learning about how they operate. We're still doing the same job at the end of the day. We're still going out in the community, making a difference and just being there for other people and just being that, showing that smile and teaching, talking about the fire service to other people is something that is so important to me. And when it gets to younger people and the fire service and their impact, man, so many young people in life, and this is just more about a broad topic, not even so much in the fire service, but so many young people think that they have to wait to be successful. They think that, oh, when I turn 31, I'll finally be able to make it. And you know what? You're mistaken. Because the moment that you are able to say the word mama and dada, you can make an impact in someone's life. And it's all about how you take that look on life. If you want to be that young kid that wants to be a doctor or a firefighter or a famous entrepreneur, you can start young. You can start from a young age. You can read books. You can go to meetings. You can get around people who are entrepreneurs. You can get around people who are firefighters. You can get around people who are doctors. Whatever you want to do in life, you have to surround yourself with people who are already doing better than you, because that is the only way you're going to grow. And my biggest lesson to young people is that you're never too young to make change. And we need young leaders to step up in today's society because, as we all see, the world is going, it's going to shit. That's the only word for it. It's going to shit, and we're not, and you know what? I'm the next person that's going to be a part of this generation. I'm 20 years old. All my other friends out here who are young, we're going to be up next to run this generation. And we got to ask ourselves the question, what are we doing to make the difference? Are we going to be the people that sit on the sidelines and just watch things happen? Or are we going to try to go out and be world changers? When people hear the word world changers or young people hear the word world changers, they think that, oh, I got to go to the White House and speak at a podium. No, you can start in your community. You can start in your family. You can start in your fire department. You can start with just regular people that you see on the side of the street. Smile. Give someone a couple of dollars if they need it. That's being a world changer. You're bringing joy into the world, into a dark place. And that's what we need. We need young people who are going to be beacons of light in this world to make the difference. So that is my message to the younger people. And that's just a little bit of my story. I don't have much of a story because I'm still starting out, and I'm looking to be able to build, something in the in this fire service that no one's ever done before. And I have so many things that I'm working on every single day to be able to make that happen for me one day. And not only that, but I thank you, for giving me this opportunity just to feel like I'm doing something good in life, And when you reached out to me and gave me this opportunity, man, I was like, no way this is happening right now. I started running around my house like, yeah, I got on a podcast. Well, let's go, mom, dad. Like, you can guess what I got, But, just being able to have the examples like guys like you and, the guys I mentioned earlier, it means truly a lot. And I can't thank you guys enough, for showing me the path, and I'm hoping to meet all of you guys soon one day because I want to shake each and every single one of your hands and thank you guys for impacting me and giving me the spark of being a young firefighter and a kid in this society that is doing something that is going to impact the future. So for that, I'm very appreciative to you guys for that. So that's pretty much my little story. And I'm looking to continue to keep growing and impacting the world, man.
All right, man. No, that's awesome. That's
Thank you.
yeah, I can see this is gonna be a really good conversation.
Sure.
So I'm gonna back it up a little bit. So you
Okay.
said your father got you into the fire service. Is he a firefighter or does he know anybody or?
So my dad is actually into the construction side. He's also a mediator for the courts. So he had nothing ever to do with fire service, but it was crazy. He was driving by. He's like, let me see if I can stop at that person's house. They might need some help with something on the roof. And never knew that my dad was the biggest person and the biggest reason why I got in the fire service. And for that, I'm forever grateful for him because if he didn't stop, I don't think I would have been here today. So for that, shout out to Pops, man.
Okay, so you mentioned he stopped where? At the at a firehouse?
Well, he actually stopped at so they happen to be our neighbors. They live about like 3 to 5 minutes away from me.
Okay.
And I think it was like they had a roof leak. And he saw like the blue tarp And he was like, "You know what? Let me see if I can help them out. You know, let me see if I can provide my services there." And he stopped. You know, they got to know each other, and their names are the Chows, is what we call them. And he was like, "Hey, do you guys, you know, happen to know anything about, you know, a cadet program or anything like that?" And they're like, "Yeah, bring them on out, man." And I came out there, and, you know, I was able to, you know, bond with some amazing kids and still have great relationships with these people today. And they were like, "Yeah, man, I want to do this too." And we just build that camaraderie of, yo, we're going to be firefighters one day. And, you know, again, like, shout out to my dad for making that happen for me, because, like I said, I wouldn't be here today.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I got this correct. The he saw the blue tarp on a firehouse
Or
or a
it was at a
regular
house.
house.
It was at a regular house.
A regular house, and then
Yes, sir.
did those or did somebody in that family happen to be a firefighter as well?
Well, actually, he was a captain, and his wife worked for administration in Palm Beach County Fire Rescue. So
Okay.
that's kind of how I got, like, you know, surrounded by them. I was able to meet them too. Like, "Yeah, man, you want to give this a try?" And it's like, "Yeah, let's do it, man." And here I am today, you know, and I was able to be in the cadet program. Yes,
Okay.
sir.
So you went okay. So pretty much, I'm assuming the cadet program is kind of like what a lot of people kind of know as the Explorer program, where they bring you up, they show you the ins and outs of the fire service, and
Yes,
then
sir.
if you want to do it, they enroll you. Got it.
Yes, sir.
So what was your first, like the first time you walked in there and they started going down, hey, this is what we do. Like, what were you thinking?
I was like, "Wow." I mean, it's crazy, because I feel like the night I went there was destined for me. I pulled up, you know, they were doing a company drill. I'll never forget it. Competition team was doing, you know, because we also had a competition team. They're like one of the best, you know, in the state, man. These guys are awesome. And I was able to be a part of that competition team for a little bit as well. But I walked in and I saw guys doing company drills, throwing ladders, search and rescue, smoking out the building, doing the PAT. And I was like, "Yo, this is like a world full of just physical fitness, man. Like, this is awesome." You know, and, you know, there was a lot of other kids my age there. We were kind of just watching. So these are more of like the new kids, you know, just getting into the program. And it was a night where we kind of go there and, like, see what the whole program's about. And I saw the guys hop out of, you know, the rescue and the engine, full gear, going on air, you know, doing VEIS. And I'm just like, "Man, this is crazy, bro. Like, I can't believe this is a real thing." And I didn't know that, I never knew they had it for kids. And so, like I said earlier, I was in a battle between track and field and firefighting. And I went home that night and I really, like, sat down. I was like, "Yo, this is it, man. I think this is awesome." And I was still super into track. I was still going to practices, still running, but I was still telling myself, like, "I think firefighting is going to be the way to go." You know, I kept watching videos. I watched YouTube videos, you know, after YouTube videos, after YouTube videos. And I was like, "Yo, this is awesome, man. This is so awesome." And I didn't really understand about having an impact in the fire service. I was just so flabbergasted by the lights and sirens, you know, the typical thing that most kids are, you know, excited about, seeing the full gear going on air. And I didn't really understand what it took to be a firefighter until I got into it myself, you know, and understood what it really took to take that role and oath on being a firefighter.
Okay. All right. So we're going to fast forward just a little bit. All right. So you go through the program and you're like, yo, this is it. This is what I want to do. I'm assuming you had to apply and test, right?
Yes, sir.
How was that like? Was it super competitive? How many were they hiring? How many did you go against?
So typically at that time, we were like the biggest cadet program in the United States. So it was a lot of people. You know, they first it was kind of good because I had a little connection to, you know, kind of help me get in. But, you know, we did a little written test, ended up getting through that. I started the little recruit, like the recruit class, you know, you get your BLS card and stuff like that. And you had to maintain, you know, a 2.5 GPA. And school was always, I always made good grades in school. You know, we had our years where, you know, we didn't, but, you know, for the most part, I always maintain a high GPA. And they're like, "Listen, if you guys can't maintain a GPA, you can't be here." So that forced me to be better in school. That forced me to study a lot more, because you're now in a program where everyone else is trying to get the same goal as you. So it's very competitive daily. Every Wednesday, it used to be on Thursdays, but after COVID, they switched it to Wednesdays. So every Thursday, you had to walk in there with a competitive mindset. You know, like, "Okay, today could be the day. If I mess up, I'm out the program. Or if I'm not performing the way I need to perform in school, if I'm slacking off or I'm getting in trouble, like, I could be out and I could lose out on a great opportunity." So I really sharpened up, and always being a part of the sports world, you had to have good grades anyways to even, compete and play sports. So I understood going in there what it meant to be in a competitive level, but I also understood what it meant to put in hard work. But this cadet program just taught me in a different way on you have to be a team player. Even though you have to keep your grades up, you have to stay out of trouble. You also have to keep your other partner because we had like lieutenants and the chief of the cadet program, the captain, the captain of the competition team. So I had the role of being a lieutenant for a little bit. So now I oversee other people. And so now you have to go in there with the mature mindset of you have to be a leader, and you other people are going to lead by your example. So if you're going in there slacking off, you're wasting time, you're not showing up on time, you're leaving stuff all over the place, like, and then you're not taking that role of being the best version of yourself. Other people in your company are going to start following that lead. And it was a big eye-opener for me because I always got taught, like, these guys, again, that I mentioned earlier that ran the program were like, listen, if you guys want this, you got to work. We're here on our free time. And that's something that always stuck with me. They came there on their free time to make sure that we were, and had the best opportunity to be firefighters. So just being appreciative of that was the most important thing. And I could say it was pretty competitive, but once you kind of get in there, it's like, okay, you know what to do, you know what to expect. You just go in and keep your head down and you go straight to work. So
Okay. So once you successfully complete the cadet program, and I'm assuming you, of course, put in to get on Palm Beach, did you have to do their version of a recruit class?
So I recently just applied to Palm Beach County, like not even like 2 weeks ago, and they have a whole different process. But I can see being a cadet gives you it's like point system. So if you're a part of the cadet program, that you kind of have a little bit of preference, when you put in your applications and stuff like that. So being a part of that cadet program allowed me to build a lot of relationships with people in Palm Beach County, and that was probably one of the best ways I got myself out there, in a sense of just, the whole social media thing was just knowing people in there and them mentoring me and letting me ride at their department, being able to be in the community when they had calls or on fire scenes, helping out swap bottles and stuff like that. It allows you to be able, when you put in your application, these people remember you as either the kid that came there and did what they were supposed to do, or as a kid who came there was like slacking off, being lazy, not being respectful, so definitely cadet program did play a big role in this application of me, putting it for Palms County. So we're keeping those fingers crossed, man, to be able to hopefully we get the spot.
Okay. But you okay, I'm just trying to make sure I'm tracking right.
Yes, sir.
So you are assigned to a station and a truck, right?
Yes, sir. It's Palm Beach Shores, right? So there's Palm Beach County, which is a separate department, and then there's Palm Beach Shores, which is a smaller department. So I'm currently at Palm Beach Shores Fire Department and then looking to get onto Palm Beach County Fire
Gotcha. Okay.
Department.
All right. 'Cause I was like, wait, I think I'm losing it, but I gotcha. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you're on Palm Beach Shores
Yes,
and
sir.
then you're looking to get onto
Palm Beach County. Yes,
Palm
sir.
Beach County, which I'm sure they're pretty large.
Yes, sir. That's the hitter quitter right there. I've applied to other great departments as well, and great guys I know in other departments as well. So, at the end of the day, I can say, wherever, God blesses me to give my talents to, that's where I want to be able to shine the most and be able to be the best version, of myself. Right
Okay.
now, I'm having those talents at Palm Beach Shores Fire Rescue and, trying to be the best version of myself there. So,
Okay. All
yes,
right.
you
So
can.
with Palm Beach Shores, do they have rescues, which are also known as ambulances?
So we currently have just an engine. We are in the works of getting a rescue. We use Riviera Beach Fire Rescue as our transportation, but we do medical calls. We're just on the BLS side of the fire service. So we're looking to change to ALS very soon. So that should be pretty exciting for the people that are going to be working there. And yeah, currently we just do BLS. We pull up in the engine, do little BLS calls, and then if needed for transportation, we'll call Riviera Beach and they'll come in and do our transportation for us.
Okay. All right. So, and I'm assuming because most Florida firefighters that I know a lot of them are ALS. So
Yes,
I'm
sir.
assuming you'll be going to
Yes,
get your
sir.
ALS here
Yes,
shortly.
sir. paramedic school real soon, man. I'm excited to tackle it too, man. I'm excited. The fire side has always attracted me, which the see stuff on fire, forcible entry. But Florida is literally 99% medical, so we're getting all medicals, so it's good to be sharp in those areas too. And that's the beauty of this job. You have to be versatile. You can't just kind of be like, oh, I'm going to sit in the one side of the fire side and then forget about medical. Because then if you forget about medical, you go on a call and then you don't know what to do. And it's like, oh man, now you just lost out on the patient, So this job allows you to be very versatile, and that's the beauty I love about this career.
So it's probably safe to assume too that you have a lot of good mentors. I mean, you mentioned several well-known names within the
Yes,
fire
sir.
service,
Yes, sir.
but I'm sure at your department you have individuals that you can talk to and that can guide you and tell you. Because like for me, from an outsider looking in, if you're fortunate to go to Palm Beach Fire Rescue, man, you might get an assignment where you're getting your teeth kicked in.
Yes, sir.
So like, are you, how have you kind of prepared your mindset for that?
Understanding, really watching film. And when I say watching film, just going over the game consistently every single day, learning new things in the fire service, reading articles. I don't know if you've ever heard of, I'm pretty sure you did, but FDIC, the big, event. Actually, my chief at Palm Beach Shores, Trevor Steedman. He is a big guy on training, and we talk, occasionally about just training, different things coming out. I was into the smoke divers and still am into the smoke divers. And he's like, listen, man, these are different ways that you need to try breathing on air. These are different workouts that you need to try. These are different tasks that you need to try. And just having that support system, knowing that I'm going to be going to hopefully one day a harder department, and him, not just talking with me, but sharing resources with me and skills and trainings with me, that is going to better myself as a firefighter, not only myself, but my teammates and my crew that I'll be with one day. Is a huge thing. Shout out to him, and a big thanks to him, because that allows me to go home now when I'm on my free time. If I'm not working on the business, it allows me to sit and study on my craft, and you have to study your craft. You can't just wake up every day and not watch videos or not read articles. Really going back to your fire school book, and your EMT school book. People think when they get out of EMT and fire school, they're done with those books. I still got my books. I highlight them occasionally. I go in there, I review, because if you don't, then you're not owning the oath. And the reason I mentioned owning the oath so much is because when you walk across that stage and you get that badge number, that is an oath that you took to be one of the best firefighters you can be for that department. And so owning the oath doesn't just mean physical fitness, but it means studying. It means staying up late. It means watching videos. It means talking to people who are better than you, and them teaching you on what you did wrong or what you need to do better, finding your mistakes, finding your failures, and having those people really hone in on those skills to help you be that whole versatile firefighter that you're trying to be.
Well, I know you gave a shout out to your chief, but I'm also going to give one to him because
Yes, sir.
it's refreshing to hear. So he knows you're trying to go somewhere else, right?
Yes,
To
sir.
like a
Yes,
bigger
sir.
department.
Yes, sir.
And so I will say, there aren't many people out there that would be accepting of that. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people would be like, oh, well, why are you trying to leave us to go there? But he's mentoring you and showing you different things. So like I have to give a shout out to him because like I don't want to say it's rare, but we have some people in the fire service where if they know you're trying to leave to go somewhere bigger, they feel some type of way about that.
Amen. Yeah, it's true. And the thing is like, I mean, and I'm going to name one more person too. Sorry, I know I'm
You're
throwing
good.
out
You're
these
good.
names, but Randall Temple. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's a big guy in the fire service. Yeah, he works for West Palm Fire Department. This man has been with me since, and I'm going to say this in a sense of he's on the African American side, so it's very refreshing to be able to see, young, black guys in the fire service making that difference. And he's stuck with me kind of since I've been in the program as well. His son Jabari Temple was like my brother. It's like my best friend, and he's another person that's really brought me up in the fire service. I mean, that I'm at their house like almost every week. And he's just like, listen, man, this is what you need to do. These are the classes that you need to take. If you don't do this, this is what's gonna happen. Always giving me the benefit of the doubt and helping me become again, the best version of myself. So I just want to give a quick shout out to him, for all his mentorship. But yeah, going to bigger departments, is great because it allows you to expand and grow, but being a part of those smaller departments, you build that bond. You build those bonds that you never forget. And I put applications in for smaller departments as well because understanding that there's a lot of smaller departments that aren't on the map, and these guys are heavy hitters, man. These guys are trained. These guys are in gear, and they just don't have the resources to be able to expand like Miami-Dade or like Palm Beach County, West Palm, like all these departments that we hear about down here. There's so many other smaller departments that so many people don't even know about. And it's like, I want to get in the fire service to make that happen. Even if I'm not a part of that department, I want to be able to bring awareness to these smaller departments that make these bigger departments look better. You know what I'm saying? And I have so many on the top of my head right now that I can just, blast off and give a hand clap to because these guys show up to work every single day and they put in the work just like every other bigger department. It's just they don't have the resources that they need to expand. So, shout out to the smaller departments, because you guys are the ones that make the bigger departments, are where they at today. So
Yeah, I mean, and in that sense, like for a good majority of people, there is an attraction to working for like Orlando,
yeah,
Miami-Dade, Palm
exactly.
Beach. And I always tell people, yes, these are bigger departments. They run usually a lot more incidents, but if you really look at the grand scheme of things, they're running the same type of calls
Exactly.
smaller departments do.
Exactly.
They're just on a bigger scale. And just because they're a bigger department, they have some slow stations. You know what I mean? Not all the stations are running all these fires and all these calls.
Exactly.
So to me, it's dependent on the individual. Like some people I know have goals. Hey, I want to work for the biggest fire department in my state. Cool. And some people are like, no, nah, I'm okay. I'm okay with going with one of the smaller ones. Like, there's pros and cons to both. Like you definitely said, the smaller ones, most of the time, everybody knows you by your name. Where a bigger department, you're assigned a number and you might go your entire career and never,
Exactly.
you
Yeah.
meet this person. You're like, oh, you're from Orlando too? And it's like, yeah, how long have you been on? 15
15 years.
years. And it's
Right.
like,
Like it's crazy.
oh man, you know what I mean? Like you could go your whole career and not meet every single person.
Exactly.
So that there's pros and cons, but I definitely wish you luck, man,
Thank you, sir.
with getting on Palm Beach.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I'm gonna see here. All right, so I've seen a couple of, well, I've seen a lot of your the videos and reels and clips that you post. So
Yes, sir.
my question to you is, what was it like when you finally actually, because you can work out, like the way I look at it, when most people work out, you know what I mean? Like they go to a gym. Like me, I used to go to a gym where you're in an air-conditioned controlled environment. Like you can still sweat, but there's nothing like actually going outside and just putting in the
Sweating.
work and sweating. So like after I heard it somewhere and I was like, you know what? This guy's right. So like I canceled my gym membership. I bought some stuff on Amazon, some weight and things like that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna make the garage my workout where I'm
Heck yeah.
outside. It's not air conditioning. I can work out when it's cold. I can work out when it's hot. Now when it's cold, I do have heaters in my garage I can turn on, but there's nothing like being outside in the thick of it. So my question to you is, when you put on that gear, man, you started working out, how much of a difference was it? And were you like, oh, this is like a game changer because my body has to get acclimated to this?
So I always was in the heat. You're running outside. My best form of physical fitness was just running track and field. I was a sprinter, so I was always running in the heat, always sweating. But man, when I tell you I put that gear on for the first time, it felt like 150 pounds were sitting on me. And that moment I put that gear on, I was like, I couldn't do push-ups. We did like, we'd have like a PT that we'd have to do, that would make us do push-ups. We'd run some towers, do some pull-ups. I'm like, whoa, like I'm not fit at all, man. Like this is bad. This is not good. And the good thing about this is they allowed us to take this gear home. So COVID hit and I was like, okay, All right, Josh, is this what you want to do, man? If you want to get fit in your gear, it's time to go to work. So COVID, everything was shut down. You can't do anything. You couldn't go anywhere. School was from home. Like everything was just, casually, just everything was at home. So I was like, okay, day one, I got a journal, and I just started writing crazy workouts, like things I couldn't even do. And I would get in gear, I would get outside, and I would just do it. And I would find myself throwing up a lot. I would find myself on the floor, like crying, man. Like, and this is where it gets personal a little bit, because a lot of people tend to see me, as like the good guy in gear, but they never knew what it took for me to get there. My neighbors are probably the best people that, if you ever had a chance to talk to my neighbors, they'd be like, "Yeah, this kid is in it every day." And that's the thing about social media. People portray something on social media, but they don't really put in the work behind the closed doors. I'm humbled to say that I put in both sides of the world. But when I first started in gear, man, I couldn't even do a bear crawl. I couldn't even do a push-up. And it discouraged me a lot, because here I am seeing other people being able to do pull-ups in gear, muscle-ups in gear, pistol squats in gear, push-ups in gear, running miles in gear, firefighter combat challenge, man. And here I am in my yard wanting to be like these people. And trying to learn the craft of what do they do? What do they do? And it clicked. It's like, bro, you just got to get in gear. And I know the famous slogan, train in gear. And I was like, you got to get in gear. And that was my slogan, get in gear. And every single day, my gear would be stinky, it would be sweaty, it would be wet. My parents were like, man, you got to, that's a laundromat, man. You smelling up the whole garage. But I was like, Mom, Dad, I gotta get right in gear. And every single day I was in gear until I started going to the program, and I started seeing very much. When I came back from the program, it's like I had a complete 360. I got some muscle on me, not too crazy, the little transformation, started hitting my 100 squats, 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups every day, in gear, out of gear. I was getting up to like 800 squats, like walk-in lunges. I was just doing this crazy calisthenics regimen. Everything body weight, no, not touching any formal weights. I just did yard workouts. I'd be picking up, as you guys see, the crazy stuff, that I pick up in my yard.
Sofas and all that. Yeah,
Yeah.
couches.
And
Yeah.
the thing is, it's like I didn't know why I was doing what I was doing, but I said, I'm not making any excuses. I want to be that guy that when I put in gear, I could pick up a whole engine if I need to, because that's what it takes. It takes you thinking outside of the box in these gear workouts. You can do your simple push-ups and your squats and your burpees in gear, but what happens when you become good at that? Now, how are you going to challenge yourself? What happens when 100 push-ups in gear is easy for you? Are you going to challenge yourself more, or are you going to still do 100 push-ups or 100 squats or 100 push-ups? You know what I'm saying? So being able to get outside and seeing tires. Okay, well, I can start doing some deadlifts. I can start doing tire flips. And I started seeing, when I started incorporating these different movements, these crazy things I was doing, I was really like getting a lot better in gear. And I would do like little progression videos of seeing when I first started. And I got to find this video and send it to you. But it was when I first started doing push-ups. I couldn't even do five. And then now, I worked myself up to being able to do 150 push-ups, no problem. And it's crazy to see how life, when you put in the work, how you can just transform, And it goes right back to saying that there's so many people out here that just do the social media thing just to do it, and because it's like, oh, you got the rank, you get the opportunity to post, and people like, I don't get that much likes, I don't get that much views. And I don't do it for views. I don't do it for likes. I do it for that 1% that look at my videos and they're like, yo, this guy pushes me to be better because I had people that push me to be better. And I want to give back. That's the thing about life. When you get successful, you get where you need to be. And I'm nowhere near where I want to be. But when you start getting on that path and that journey of being great, you got to learn how to reach back down and learn how to pick people back up. You can't be selfish, especially in this job. You can't be selfish. And that's just a life lesson. When you get somewhere in life, you've got to learn how to give back to other people who are trying to get to where you need to be. And that's what I learned with these workouts, because I used to just, people would ask me, yo, what do you do for like workouts? And I'm looking at myself like, dude, I'm not big. Like, I'm really not fit. But other people would see what I'm doing and they would wonder, like, yo, who is this kid? You know, like, who is this kid, you know, getting on the pull-up bar, doing muscle ups with chains, or doing, you know, picking up tires, you know? And it was like, because I wanted to be different, you know, I wanted to bring something different to this world, you know, not the typical 315 bench guy, the 405 squat guy. I wanted to show people that there's no excuse in your fitness. There's no excuse. And if you can find a screwdriver and make a workout out of it, why not? You know, just be creative, you know, and being having that creative mind is what helped me get to where I'm at today. And I still look to strengthen that creative mind and find even more ideas, you know. And a lot of people might not understand why I do what I do in these particular videos. And it's really just because, again, there's people out here who make those excuses. Oh, I don't have a gym membership. I can't. Well, I guess that's it for me. That's wraps. I can't afford a gym membership. Well, that's the beauty of calisthenics. That's the beauty of weighted calisthenics. That's the beauty of yard workouts. That's the beauty of rucking. You're connecting with nature. You're getting outside and you're connecting with God's creation. And back then, I mean, shoot, back then we didn't have weights. We didn't have a gym back then. We had outside, we had the field, you know, we had, you know, getting outside in the heat, picking up big stones. That's how working out used to be. And then, you know, we came up with the whole gym culture. And I love the gym culture and I respect everyone that does it. But we have to get back to the old way of working out because that's what truly builds the dogs. Again, I apologize about my dog, but that's what builds the true dogs is the people who understand how to get outside and just work and work. You know, so that's kind of my little story on it.
No, man. I mean, you hit a lot of things right. Right on the head, pal, because one thing that definitely resounded, and I'm 100% with you on this, is people believe that if they're watching an individual or they know an individual that's having success, they think, oh, well, why can't that happen to me? Or what has this person done to get it? But they're not seeing the other side of that person grinding it out, putting in the work. And that doesn't have to be the fire service, it could be anything in life. Like, if you want something, you have to put in the work. That's what I
Amen.
tell my 5-year-old daughter. Like, hey, you know, she's starting to shoot basketballs and stuff. And when she
Heck
doesn't get
yeah.
it right, she gets pouty. And I'm like, no, there's no pouting here. I was like, you have to continue. You're not going to make all your shots. It's just the process of keep going, never stopping. And
Exactly.
so, you know, in regards to with the social media thing, man, social media is the biggest. It's a gift and a curse. It's awesome
Amen.
because the gift for me is I'm able to talk to you. You're in Florida, I'm in North Carolina. We've never really met each other, only through social media. Social media kind of got us together. I swear, and I tell people this all the time, whenever someone asks, hey, how did you find me? My phone algorithms, they're watching. I don't know what to tell you, but Instagram knows like the people that I am looking for. And so it'll just go, you might know this person, and I don't. And then I'll click on it, and I'm like, well, I like what this person is doing. So,
That, bro.
but like when it comes to the negative side of social media, a lot of people only want to show you like the good things, the happy times. Very few will show you failures. Like, you know, like, you know, for example, within the fire service, a lot of videos you see a lot of kick-ass videos, but sometimes you don't see the failures. But to me, it's awesome when somebody will show you, like, I'll use myself for example. For the longest time, man, I tried to shoulder throw a 35, and I almost had it. It slipped. I caught it against the wall, and I pushed it up. But you're like, you know what? I'm gonna post this. I'm gonna post this so people can see, like, it's okay to
To fail
fail. You're
if you're
just,
not,
you're trying. You know what I'm saying?
And the thing
So
is,
go ahead.
sorry, and the thing is, it's like it's crazy, and you hit that on the nail because if you're not failing in life, you're not even trying. And we hear that quote a lot, you know, those little motivational clips on YouTube. If you're not failing, you're not trying. And failure is not, it's not something for you to, it's just another way to teach you on how not to do something, right? So, right back to that 35, you did it, you had that little failure, and now it's like, okay, well, if I don't do that, let me try it this way and let me try it. And now you know
Exactly.
you have a new way and you have a new perspective. It's like I remember I was trying to, man, when I was lifting, right? I was like, oh man, 255. Ah, no pressure. What did I do? Like, I think I got this. And I couldn't get it. I'm like, yo, help me. I'm telling my bro, like, yo, please help me, bro. I can't get this up. I can't get this up. And I'm thinking, like, oh, man, bro, like, dude, I'm weak, bro. And he told me, he's like, you know what, bro? You're just starting out, bro. To even pick it up is impressive. You know, you're just getting in here, you know? And I walked away and I was like, you know, if you don't fall down in life, if you get everything you want in life, if you always get $1 million every single day, you never learn how to work for that $1 million, what have you learned in life? You know, like when you get in the fire service and you failed on a test or you failed in an evolution, and then you might for a day you might be like, dang, bro, I suck. Is this, am I really meant for this? But then you have that little birdie in your ear telling you, hey, bro, it's okay. It's okay. Don't be ashamed that you failed. Just get up. You found out how not to do it again. Find another way. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And it's kind of like building, like when I'm just trying to, you know, build my business, you know, to market coaches and like firefighters, you know, training firefighters. Like, I have so much to learn in the fitness industry. It's absolutely crazy. But I can only tell people what I know and help people get to where they need to be with the information that I taught myself. You know, and I think that's such a huge thing on social media. People try to put an image out there that they don't even know about, and then they want to take people's money, or they want to take things away from people because they figure that they have the ring to do it. And it's like, you know what? I'm okay with saying that I'm a beginner in the fitness industry. I'm okay with saying that. I'm totally fine with saying that because I understand that I'm around the right people who are going to help me get to where I want to be. And you know what? I don't mind providing my services now to people who are trying to get to where I'm at, you know? And I always tell people will always tell me DMs or, you know, comments, man, Josh, like, I'm trying to get like you, bro. I'm trying to get like you, man. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, bro. Like, I don't really know how to handle that, bro, because it's like, I'm so young, bro. And I never knew I had impact on some of these people's lives. And hearing that, man, sometimes just brings a sense of comfort because it's like, wow, I have a 35-year-old reaching out to me saying, yo, man, like your videos are very inspirational. And I'm here in my mind, I'm like, bro, I should be learning something from you. Like, you know, you're a lot older than me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've been through life. Here I am just trying to find out where I matter in life, you know? And so having people, you know, reach out to me saying that, or people that want to join my program and be like, yo, man, I want to transform. I want to be better in my gear. You know, all again, I give all praise to God for that, you know, because I'm nothing without him. You know, I'm nothing without him. And having the fortitude of waking up every single day, understanding that is the biggest life lesson for me. And I'm very appreciative of that.
I mean, that's very well spoken, man. Like you said you're 20 years old, and I have no doubt in my mind that you're gonna go far, dude. Like your mindset is on point. I
Thank
can
you,
tell you
sir.
when I was 20, I thought I knew it all. I thought I was like the shit, man. But you know, with life and
Yes, sir.
lessons, and definitely most importantly, the people that you keep around you, the people that influence you, the people that you want to be like, man, truly can make a huge difference. And definitely it sounds like the individuals in your corner, from your parents down
Yes,
to
sir.
your coworkers and people you know, man, keep it going, keep it up. Because like this job is tough. And I know you already know that, but I just want you to keep in the back of your mind that at least for me, not everybody has your best interest at heart. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yes,
you're gonna find haters. You're
yes, sir.
going and that's gonna be haters within your own organization. You just gotta remember your why, which I don't see you having any issues with remembering your why, but remember why you're doing this, remember why you're here, and just put all that negativity and them haters to the side, man. Continue doing what you're doing
I
because
appreciate that.
it is fantastic, man. It
Thank you,
is
sir.
truly fantastic.
And I just want to say, you know, thank you for giving me that. You know, that recently that's something I needed a lot. And I appreciate that because it's crazy, you know. Sometimes people look at you know, and this is I'm actually, you know, a little snippet, you know, but I'm working on a book as well, How to Ignite Your Future. And it's to younger people, on that you're never too young to be great, you know, and sometimes young people get the mode of when older people kind of tell them like, yo, you're too young, like you need to wait, or you need to focus on this, or you need to focus on that. I believe that your mind should never have a barrier. If you want to go somewhere in life, if it's that you want to be a successful entrepreneur and you have a young person or older person telling you, ah, bro, you got to wait, you got to learn, you got to go to college. I don't, yes, college and all that stuff is great, but you should never have someone telling you what God put in your mind to do, you know, because God didn't put that dream in their mind. He put it in your mind for a reason. And you have to chase after that dream no matter what, no matter what failures you go through, no matter what people tell you, you have to chase greatness, you know. And I appreciate that, you know, because that saying stuff like that means a lot, you know, especially hearing it from guys such as yourself who I look up to, you know, it's very comforting to hear, you know, people like you guys saying like, yo, keep going what you're doing, because now it's only going to drive me to even be better, you know. And again, I still have so much to learn, you know. I'm so excited for the future to learn so much, but you know, being reassured of your steps to greatness is always, you know, the best feeling in the world. So I appreciate that.
No, man, definitely, definitely. Because one thing your generation has, to me, in my opinion, has a leg up on what I didn't have, and that's technology. You know, like the fact that you can communicate with so many people, the fact that, you know, you can watch how this person moves, emulates, but also keep in the back of your mind, you know, like that social media thing we talked about.
Sir.
It's all perspective. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people, or most people, aren't comfortable showing the failures or the pains or and things of that nature. But like I said, man, with who you surround yourself with, who you talk about, it's definitely, especially in the fire service, man, it's always good to have people like that, because you're gonna have your ups and downs. Everybody does. I don't think there's not one person I know that can say that they were all in into the job their entire career. You know what I mean? Like, politics get involved, life happens, life experiences, calls, everything, all that. There's so much stacked against us in a way. And the biggest thing that we can have is definitely having a crew and surrounding yourself with individuals that are trying to, that will tell you, hey man, don't go down this road. I've been there. I fucked up. Like, this is how it's going to be. So it's awesome that, like I said, man, for 20 years old, dude, and because it's one of those things, you know, you hear what I call from the old heads. Sometimes the old heads be like, oh, this new generation in fire service, man, they're gonna change it. It's not gonna be the same. Change is not always a bad thing, but
Amen.
man, like, whenever you hear or I talk to people like you and so many others who are young, it's like, we're good. Like, we're in good hands for
Thank
sure.
you. Thank you. I
For sure,
appreciate that.
man. No, I mean, and another thing for me is, I'm gonna keep this a buck.
Okay.
So, there's not very many of us as far as population in the fire service. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, and for others, for people that don't know what I'm trying to say, I always kind of like to equate it to, there's not always a lot of chocolate chips in a sea of milk in
There
the
you
fire
go.
service. And here's the thing, when I say that, I never wanted to be a firefighter, first off. I was going to go the direction of film, directing movies, things of that nature, right? But
Oh, nice.
when I got into the fire service, I knew the fire service, history has proven, has always been predominantly white. I don't know how it was back in the day. Maybe, you know, a couple brown guys, black guys tried and was like, nope. I don't know how it was back in there, but slowly and surely, you know, us, we started creeping in. African Americans, black people, we started creeping in into
So
the fire
true.
service. And so, to me, the way I look at it is, there's not very many of us,
Yes, sir.
so I want to try my best not to fuck anything up. You know what I mean? Like, my last name speaks miles, speaks volumes. So that's why I always tell people, on the back of your jacket, you have the name of your organization and your last name. That's all you
Represent.
got. You got to represent it. You can't do something stupid because your department name's on there, and then people are gonna know, oh, you didn't hear about this guy? Yeah, this is what he did. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it is very refreshing to see that. And to me, it's also refreshing that it's not like the fire service came to you. It's not like they knocked on your door and said,
Yes.
"Hey, Josh, would you like to be a firefighter?" No, you found the fire service via your father just on a whim going, "Hey, let me stop and see if this person needs help." Hey, that person happens to be a firefighter.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that.
Crazy, right? Yeah.
And so what I say with that is I always feel a certain way whenever organizations make it a point and a purpose, we're going to go into these urban areas and look for these individuals. If they want to become firefighters, they
Let
will
them find
find you.
it. Exactly. I agree.
I don't know any other way to say it. Some people
I
might
agree.
be shocked that I said it, but if anybody really knows me and people in within my department know me, I don't play that game. Like,
Yeah.
I don't care the color of your skin, female, male, whatever. As long as you can do the job, awesome. Point blank, period. This is not a job where we need to stay.
Discriminate.
We need to boost our numbers on a certain ethnicity. Like,
Yeah.
stop doing that, because all that is whenever somebody comes in that it to me, it shines a bad light when you go out there to purposely find that individual, you hire that individual, because now the spotlight's on that individual from everybody else in the department, and they're just waiting to see what happens. You know
Something.
what I mean? Like,
Exactly.
and they might not be comfortable to tell you that, but me, I won't. Like, so you know, whenever we have like things going on within the community and I kind of start seeing who they're picking, it's like they pretty much should skip me because I'm not about that. Like, I will proudly talk about my department if I need to, but don't try to put me on a pedestal for that. I don't want to be the first of anything within my department. Don't label me that. I am just a man here trying to make a difference. Period.
And the thing is, it's great because, you hit it again on the nail, because at the end of the day, man, we all bleed the same blood, you
Right.
know? Like, you expect me, if I'm on your truck, you expect me when I get off that truck, let's say we wake up 3 o'clock in the morning for a structure fire, all right, where I'm riding backwards, you're my captain, all right? You open that door, all right, Josh, I need you to force that door. I need you to be on primary search, all right? You don't care if I'm white, black, yellow, purple, pink. You don't. You want me to get the job done. You expected that when I got at the recruit academy, that by training and I paid attention in training to be able to get the job done, right? No matter if you're a male or a female, right? You expect me to get whoever's in that backward seat as a firefighter, or that driver's seat, or the other seat, captain seat, the battalion chief or the chief of that department just expects his men and women to get the job done. And that's how the fire service needs to be ran. We get in that card, you know, and again, it is great to see brothers and sisters in the fire service. I love it because that's what motivates me to keep going, you know. But then at the end of the day, this job is a job where you can't always have that race car in you. You have to understand that, yo, if your name is Jim Job and you came from Alabama and my name is Joshua and I came from Florida, listen, we both got the same job. We had the same training. It's just who wants it better, you know. And that's what people fail to understand. It's everyone thinks in life that it's good to compete. It's great to compete. You know, it's a competition to get hired. It is. You know, you're going against people you don't know, so you got to show that you want that spot. But when you get on the trucks, man, you are now a family. Now, when it comes to promotion testing, hey, we get our little family noggins and our friendly competitions. But hey, if I got something wrong, hey, bro, can you kind of help me understand this? If you and that's the thing. If you, I always say, true friends, you got true friends, and then you just got friends. True friends are going to be the ones that can sit down with you and be like, yo, I failed on this part. Can you help me get here? No matter if you guys are trying to go after the same thing. Yeah, bro, come on in, bro. Why not? Let's study together. You got a friend that's like, oh, bro, I don't think we can, I don't think we can do this, bro. I don't think we can study. You know, I got to go home and study. I'm trying to pass myself. You know, I don't, no, the fire service, again, when I said earlier, there's no I in the fire service. There's an I in track, but there's no I in the fire service. So when you get in this job, you got to learn how to be able to reach down and help others. No matter if you're failing tremendously in life, find a way to help someone. Because by you helping, when you teach someone something else, it gives you an even better perspective on how to train. Like sometimes when I'll teach people like search and rescue, and mind you, I just teach what I know. You know, so when I'm teaching people search and rescue or how to do fire attack or something, you know, new people might ask some questions, you know, Hey Josh, like, how do you do this? Can you teach me different victim drag removals? Yeah, man, of course. Even though I'm still learning myself, hey, this is what I learned. I'm a smaller guy, so if I have a 300-pound person that I have to move out of structure fire, why would I try to muscle it? You know what I'm saying? And put not only myself on air in jeopardy because he's bigger, but why not use the techniques that I learned? Hey, command, I might need some backup. I might need some help. Don't be afraid to reach out for help, because those guys who come in the fire service who think, oh, bro, I could do this all by myself. Yeah, I got this, bro. I could do this all by myself. I don't need help. I'm strong. I'm fit. Are the first ones that fail. And learning to put your ego aside and just honoring your legacy, because life is about a life. Life is a book. Every single day you wake up, it's a new chapter. And if you're not writing the chapter of greatness, you're not doing anything in life, you know. And I always try to live by that code, because when I wake up and I when I, one day we are going to leave here, this earth, one day, right? We're all going to die. It's fate. But you want to leave with the legacy of saying, you want other people to say, man, when I knew Josh, one thing I could say about Josh was he was a hard worker and he always motivated others to be better. Or one thing when I met Mr. Danny, man, he taught me, he told me, like, you got to keep going, bro. Don't let people stop you because you're young, you know. And so that's another spiel. Just write your own story, you know, and don't be that cocky head that wants to come in the fire service, because I promise you, you're gonna get humbled real quick, really quick.
Absolutely, pal.
Really
That's
quick.
one thing about this profession. You come in thinking you know it all. Yeah, you're gonna get served that slice of humble pie, and hopefully it's not a fatal slice of humble
Yeah,
pie.
exactly.
Hopefully
I agree.
it's a rude eye-opening, rude awakening type serving. But no, man, it's one of those things, you know. Like you mentioned, for me, I have friends and I have colleagues. My friends are very small, but and it's my personality. I as people have told me, my facial expressions, I come off as a little bit brash, or you look like you don't want to be approached. And there's sometimes I don't want to be approached because, you know, just because I'm sitting alone or sitting somewhere in a corner, I'm also studying the room. I'm also looking at how other people are interacting with who. And that's one thing you will definitely notice. To me, the fire service is kind of like high school, man. You're going to have your jocks. You're going to have what they label you as a nerd or a geek or a freak or this guy's weird. Like, we're all different and that's okay. And I am comfortable of staying in my lane of I don't want to be the popular person. I don't want to be, you know, the go-to guy, the jock. I'm cool with calling me a nerd because I am a fire nerd, man. I know so much other things about other departments, and people are like, "How do you know this?" And it's like, because I watch YouTube, I watch fire porn, as I call it, and I study all kinds of things like this. So,
And that's good, man. And the thing is, it's like in this job, you never stop learning. Like,
right.
it's crazy. As soon as you get in recruit, now you got to study for the driver's test. And then when you're done with drivers, now you got to study for lieutenant. And then when you're done with lieutenant, you know, now you got to study for captain, you know. And it's crazy. Like, every single year, you have to learn something new, or else you're going to get left in the dust, man. And it applies to life. Every day you wake up, learn something new. You know, there's so many things that I still have yet to learn. But I'm on those movements every day to learn it, because I understand that if I want to be where I say I want to be in the next 3 to 5 years, well, it's going to take me hammering the nail and getting down and learning and studying, you know. And there's so many people who deserve this podcast, you know, and deserve this spot and this honor, because I'm just a vessel, you know. I'm just the kid who the hard mode kid who just, you know, is trying to make a name for himself and try to be that impact, you know, to other people, you know. And again, back to, you know, what you were saying, it's so important to just stay humble. You know, it's important to stay humble. When you get these opportunities in life, and you get these parts in life where people commend you for your work, and they commend you for your what you're doing in the community, and or what you're doing on social media, you gotta learn to be humble, because the moment you get that pride ink in you is the moment you're gonna get thrown right back down in the dirt. And sometimes, you know, I have people come to me like, yo, bro, I see your videos, dog. Like, you're hardcore, man. And I'm like, all humble. Like, thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Humbled, humbled, humbled. Because I know there's another person out there that will humble me just like that. You know, I just do what I do because I enjoy what I do. And I feel like other people should see what it means to put in that work. You know, put in that work every day, bro, and you will find yourself in positions that you can't even imagine. You know, I live by the saying is that you wake up every day, right? You got 24 hours. In those 24 hours, what are you going to do to set yourself up for success the rest of your life? If you let a day go by that you waste, and there are days, you know, there's days I wake up and you know what? I'm gonna be honest, I don't do anything. There'll be days that I wake up, I don't do anything. And I'm not afraid to say that because I'm human. I'm not perfect. And that's the thing about social media. People try to picture perfect every day they're putting in the work. There's days I wake up, I'll go right in my camera gallery and I'll just recycle a video and repost it. But it's the fact of still putting the message out of, hey, make sure you do something. If it's not working out, read a book. If it's not reading a book, go on YouTube. Learn how to use a credit card. Learn how to build a house. Like, it doesn't have to just be tailored towards what you do every day. Learn how to fix a car. Like, it can be anything, but as long as you're learning something daily, that's what makes successful people successful. Not the people who just wake up and study their craft and their craft only. Because you never know, that's the thing about the fire service. You go on calls, you might have to change the oil for someone. You might run to a lady's house in her wheelchair patio, or whatever they call it, but you know, where they roll up the wheelchairs. It might collapse and then you have to fix it. Well, if you don't know any form of construction or measurements or the 2x4s and Lowe's or Home Depot is what the stores we have in Florida, or the hardware store, you don't know what a flathead or Phillips screwdriver is. Whoa. You know, you didn't take that time to learn that, you know, and that's what I appreciate my dad for, because my dad was, he's also into construction too. So he would make me, we also had cows. So I also had like the farm. That's the whole thing that got me to the yard workouts too. We had like a farm and I had cows and stuff like that. And I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, shoveling cow shit. And I would go to school all the way in Broward, Florida. And like, and that's what built my character and my discipline to wake up early and just get to work. Because if the longer you sleep, you wake. I woke up recently at about like 11 o'clock. I actually had a tough day before, tired, you know, tough workout, and I woke up at 11 o'clock. And I looked up the talk. I was like, "Oh my gosh, bro!" I had to train a client that day. I had to also get online and work with a client. And I was like, "Bro, I just threw away the whole day. I just threw away the whole day." And I was so mad at myself because I was like, "Come on, Josh. If you're trying to stay where you want to be, you got to wake up before the sun even rises. You got to wake up at 4 o'clock." 2 o'clock in the morning, you got to be up studying. I believe you got to sleep. You know, it's good to sleep, but I believe that if you're chasing after a dream and a goal, you got to be up at all hours. Like, you got to study when the average person is not studying, because that's when you find the source of winning. You know, not during 1 o'clock in the afternoon when everyone else is still working. At 3 o'clock in the morning when everyone else is sleeping, it's, I don't know what it is, but your mind just taps into a different mode of studying, and you just find things that you didn't even know, and ideas and inventions that you want to come out with, or people that you want to talk to, or people you want to impact. And I find my best work at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm on my computer learning, studying the game, learning fitness. Like, I find my best work done better than 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock when I'm just sitting down on my computer studying, you know. So sorry, I
No,
could go all day.
man. Well said. Well said. Like I said, Josh, man, your parents did a bang up job in
Thank you,
raising
sir.
you, pal.
Thank you,
You're like I
sir.
said, and then after that, you're doing a bang up job as a young man coming into this world, coming into the fire service. So I truly wish you great things, man. I
Thank
appreciate you accepting my invite. I
you.
appreciate Instagram's algorithms for finding
Yes,
you.
sir. Heck yeah.
And so, pal, man, I just want to say, like, you are an inspiration. The fire
Thank
service
you.
is in good
Thank
hands
you,
with
sir.
more people like you.
Thank
And
you,
I
sir.
wish you nothing but success in life,
Thank you.
family, and the fire service as well, pal.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Mr. Danny.
Sir,
And
yes, sir.
look forward to staying in touch with you, man. Now that I know we're on this cool brother basis, man, I'm gonna keep you posted on, you know, just my journey. And I'm also looking to start, you know, back on my podcast as well. So I kind of want to get you featured as well, real soon. So definitely would love to stay in touch with you. And Hopefully, who knows? I might be in North Carolina soon, man. So,
Hey, that's the thing. Like, if I'm ever in Florida, I can hit you up. If you're ever here, hit me up,
heck
man.
yeah,
That's
heck
what
yeah.
we do. It's what we
Yes,
link
sir.
up, man.
Yes,
So,
sir.
like I said, I appreciate it, pal.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, sir.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.